Hello, Rise Together listeners. Dave here. I've got a bonus for you. After appearing on this very podcast, my friend John Acuff and I, we started a show. Every Friday at 10:30 Central, he and I jump on the internet and have a conversation about nothing. John actually comes to each of our get-togethers with seven questions about totally random stuff. It is an attempt to just laugh, disconnect for a second from whatever might be getting you down, and have a little bit of fun in a world that sometimes doesn't have enough fun showing up. So I hope you enjoy this, the rebroadcast of the John and Dave Show. And if you're interested, jump on Instagram every Friday at 10:30 a.m. Central, where we're going to go live, have a little fun, answer seven questions, and hopefully send you into the weekend with a smile on your face. Enjoy. Oh, good morning from the mobile studios of the hallowed John and Dave Show. My name is Dave, co-host. It's Friday. It's 10:30 Central. That means it's time for the internet sensation that has not yet taken off. Please welcome my co-host, my brother from another... Mr. John Acuff, or J. Cuff, as I'm going to start calling him very, very shortly. Oh, John, are you there? Yeah. Oh, wait a second.
What?
Do you have a job interview today?
Yeah, I'm interviewing for a mid-level manager position at a local insurance company.
Man,
Dave, speaking of insurance, how is your family doing? Do you guys have life? Do you have boat insurance, motorcycle insurance? You know, we do it all. We cover every type of vehicle. You got kayak insurance?
Groundhog Day. You seen Groundhog Day?
Exactly. Exactly.
One of the best characters ever.
Oh, of course. Of course. So yeah, I feel like I am a local meteorologist who's reporting live from a scene.
Here's what usually happens, just so that I can paint a picture. Usually I make a comment about your suit and the fact that you've got a job interview. You laugh. It's kind of a stifled laugh. And then you represent that you are on your way to a funeral. And then I feel terrible. That's usually how this works.
Yeah, I had that exact moment this morning. About half an hour ago, somebody said, there's a church in our area where they used to pass out the offering and said, take some or give some. If you need some, take some. She said, kids in my high school would grab some. They'd go there, take money and buy beer. And I was like, and those kids died in car crashes, like joking, like Final Destination. And she goes, some of them did. And I was it got real dark, real fast.
So fast.
So this is a half an hour ago. Don't you like when you're awkward moments, you don't have to think that far back. You're like, oh.
Speaking of dark, I don't want to go. It might be too soon for me because I'm still processing this, but we are going in opposite directions, just like straight up. I am, you're traveling, I'm traveling, traveling. Yep. Hey, we're traveling. Isn't that nice?
I came to your state.
You came to my state. I left immediately. That's how it goes. Yeah. So in an hour and a half, I'm walking into a boardroom where we've got a meeting. We're talking about some upcoming business opportunities. So excited. Nice. And I did a workout this morning. I got ready. I mean, I'm not wearing my V-neck. I might, but I didn't bring any hair product. You know, I cut my own hair.
I'm
like, I got to wear a hat to a business meeting. First business meeting I've been to in forever.
But
does that make me like cool or does that make me disrespectful?
Is it a top hat?
It's this hat. Here's the thing. I love this company. It's a local Austin company called Burlebo. They sent me 10 of these black hats because they know I'm going to wear it right out and this is a new one. So it doesn't look like it's not a dirty
fresh
hat. It's a fresh hat. Fresh hat.
Are they going to be in suits? Are you rolling in? They're going to be like tuxedo. Like I went to an event once that was a gala and I didn't know gala meant tuxedo. We get there. No lie. It's me and my wife. There's 500 people in tuxedos. There's only one other person who's not. He's an NBA player. And so I was so glad he was there because he was tall and distractible. And at the end of the night, I was like, dude, no offense. I was glad you were in a suit, too. He goes, I saw you, too. I was excited. So are they going to be fancy and you're going to be cash?
The thing is, you're supposed to dress at a minimum to the lowest standard of anyone who's in the room. Like,
you got to hope there's a visor. You got to hope there's a visor guy. That's your hope. If there's a visor guy, you're fine because you're above visor.
Someone just said you can ask the hotel for hair products. Trust me, I went down to the front desk of this. We're not staying it's a decent place. I mean, there's a picture on the wall behind me, but they don't have any hair care products. And the only other option was to run across the street to something called Publix and be late to this show. There's a 0% chance I'm going to do that. So you know what?
Committed.
I might just stick with the hat. I mean, I have like a button up shirt. I'm wearing charcoal slacks. I mean,
are you going to
look handsome?
tie with the jeans, a boys to men kind of thing? Have you thought about that?
Well, I haven't put, number one, I haven't put on a tie in so long, I wouldn't know what they look like or how to tie one. I feel like I can pull off a little bit of like a hat with a button up with my, I've got some cool Chucks on. Like, I think I can pull it off. I'm just saying it's different than your insurance salesman. Look, by the way, you got a haircut too. I don't think I'm not going to acknowledge that.
I did. I got a haircut. I talked in my book that I bought 48 haircuts. I bought a package of 48. I got home and my wife said, excuse me. And I was like, yeah, you save money. They were cheaper if you bought a big package. That's the biggest one I have. And she said, well, let's do the math. You get a haircut every 3 to 4 weeks. It'll take you 2.7 years to use those haircuts. And I was like, but think of the savings.
Think of the savings, though. Yeah. Think of the savings.
24 left. 24 left.
We're, by the way, those haircut places just like, we got one.
No, they sold me. Here's how she sold me. She said, 48. And I was like, that's too many. She goes, your friend Chris just did it. And I was like, I see the sales technique. That I know what you're doing. I still went in. I still went in for it. Yeah, so she got me. So I do have a haircut. I'm in Dallas. I'm at a speaking event. I just got to spend some time with John Maxwell, which was amazing. So, so fun. And yeah, and I even brought – I printed these out at home on my
home
printer.
Seven questions brought on the road.
Dude, dedication, right?
So I'm good. Like, wait, are you saying that you're with John – you're with John Maxwell in real time?
Yeah, he's right. He's on stage right now. I just spoke with him in the lobby. He and Louis Giglio were the morning, and then I did a 15-minute. Dude, no lie, 15 minutes. I start the speech. I haven't done a live event in forever, so I'm already nervous. And I feel my foot sticking. I look down. My foot is covered with some sort of gaffing tape that must have been on. Like, every step gets harder to take. It feels like the loudest thing in my head. And my whole, like, so my brain divided in two, which was like, do the speech well. And the other was like, get this tape off
get the
your
tape
foot.
Off my foot.
And I couldn't. I just rocked it the whole time. I hope nobody noticed. People in the audience were like, we didn't notice the tape. But dude, I was terrified.
Not a question, but because you brought up John, I wrote this into my next book. So I was backstage having a moment at the very beginning of entrepreneurial journey where I was so out of my element, having previously inside of corporate run big teams that knew what they were doing really, really well. I was more managing humans than I was rolling my sleeves up, getting my nails dirty. And there was just a frequency of fires that made me really struggle with, am I the one that's like apt to actually do this work? Is there something wrong with me? Whatever. So I'm backstage, bring this conversation up. Rachel and I were both there. And he had this like very, as he is, like just like this stoic godfather of leadership moment where he said, well, you can either have multiple days without issues, problems, trouble, fires, or you can run a small business, but you can't have both. So you have to decide, do you want to be someone who lives inside of entrepreneurship and has to work through the growing pains of scaling a business, or do you want to have like multiple good days in a row? And it was just like this simple permission slip to give myself grace, to appreciate that that's the cost of entry. And of course, it's like I wrote about it in a chapter about perspective. That's the kind of thing that comes from years of perspective. And it was just like, yo, I'm in. Yep. Thank you, brother.
A 74-year-old sage that can say, hey, here's what I know, and you listen to that. Like for me, a friend said to me, you get one of two things. You get control or growth. You can't have both. And I was like, dang it. Like, but what if I want control and growth? He's like, not how it works.
How it works.
When things feel out of control, when I see a fire, I think that's failure. We should have no fires versus going, that's part of growth. Like we're going to have some fires. So I love that. So it's really fun that we've both been able to learn from him. And so that actually leads me to my first question. I'm always
Let's
looking for
go.
A segue.
Let's
okay,
go.
Dave, I want you to go real honest, real fast. This one's like, whoa, where are we going? I'm in a sport coat. So expect good questions.
Okay.
First question. Who is the most famous person that you have in your cell phone? So somebody whose cell phone number you have in your cell phone, and don't hide the real one. Like if you got Bono in your phone, dude, be like, it's Bono. But I'm like, most famous person, and I'll give you mine if it helps start things. But if you want to go first,
go ahead.
My favorite one I have is Montel Jordan. I have Montel Jordan.
This is how we do it, Pepperdine graduate. Though, come on,
dude. I swear to you, one day I got a 3-minute voicemail from Montel Jordan. I was like, I'm probably about to go on tour. I was like, this is how we do it. I listened to it. It was his daughter, like a 3-year-old daughter, using the phone that she had just left on the voicemail. I was like, that's not how we do it. I guess I'm not going on tour with Montel Jordan. So there's mine. Who is on yours?
Well, I mean, like if I were to go into my contacts, It's probably someone who I worked with back in Hollywood that, to be honest, that number is most definitely changed. Like there's okay. a 0% chance that it's still the same, but like I was close with Wilmer Valderrama for years because I worked on that 70s show.
70s
and we stayed friends over the years. I was okay. close to David Duchovny for some years because I worked on the X-Files. Like, so I have a cool contact list,
yeah.
but if I were to send a note, it would be like, Who is this?
Yeah, what? new phone who dis?
New phone who dis? I actually I told this story on a live at some point not too long ago, but I had this opportunity early on in my career to take a very upstart 3-person band from Houston named Destiny's Child on a mall tour, and I had the interview Michelle Williams, who was in the band, and had this conversation with her for the Rise Together podcast, and she was like, "It's so nice to meet you," and I'm like, "Oh no, we've met." We met 20 years ago, and that's the kind of, like, those are the kind of contacts that, like, yo, I probably still have your name in my phone, but that 818 number is not something that, like, all good.
No, that is so funny. And somebody got that number. That's what's funny. Is somebody is still trying to reach out to Michelle Williams, like, and it's a guy named Gary's number in Indiana, and he's like, hey,
this isn't
Sorry. Destiny's Child. Please stop.
Not going. Here anymore. Please
Great
stop.
Answer. Second question. Have you ever found a signed copy of one of your books at a used bookstore and thought, dang, Brenda, too soon?
I wish.
God, you haven't?
No, I haven't. I haven't. The thing is, you have to remember, my last book was my first book. It happened to come out the day that basically the world shut down. And so I have not been in stores in the way that most people haven't been in stores. So I haven't had as much time to go in. I'm sure there's plenty that have been sent over to the old secondhand bookstore area. So once the world opens back up and I get back in, I'm sure I'll find it.
I've found some, and one was actually somebody who helped me edit the book. And that one cut, because I was like, dear so-and-so, thanks for helping me with this book. And I found that at a used bookstore, and I posted it, and my wife said, that's too petty, delete it. So there's a bonus question. What's something you've had to delete that you're like, nope, too petty? Have you had to have any delete moments?
Of course. Like any time that I'm like having an emotional, oh, my ego has been bruised by you not loving this.
Yeah, yeah.
Have to, say something so that I can show you that I am good and not the thing that you think. And then I'll have this moment of like, wait a second, this is a stranger. I don't know this person. I put up a post not too long ago where I was like, I'm not free ice cream. Neither are you. Like, not everyone is going to like all of us. And the fact that that person doesn't necessarily like the thing that you've created doesn't mean it's not good. There's plenty of people that love ice cream and a bunch of us that are intolerant to ice cream.
Yeah.
And so that's, fine.
I love to go look at 1-star reviews of my favorite books and remember there's somebody that's like, The Great Gatsby was dumb. Wasn't even that good. And you're like, somebody hates everything. And if you can remember, like, oh yeah, okay. Like somebody hates a ton of
grief. I take a ton of grief for not liking Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. I take a ton of grief having worked on Star Wars for not liking Star Wars. And so it's just like,
whoa, hey, like we should talk about this in the pre-meeting because these are kind of fan reducing statements you're making, and I'm trying to make fan increasing statements.
I understand.
You just put the Star Wars community and the Lord of the Rings. You want to insult Star Trek? You want to get Star Trek in the mix and be like, y'all look dumb too.
Yeah, no. Long ago, I had to realize, like, if you want to have any kind of impact, you're inevitably going to invite criticism. If you don't like the thing, what often happens is, like, we have an opportunity to make something and 100 people are going to react, and 90 people are like, yo, thank you, that was good, there's something great there. But the 10 people that end up having an issue with it or want to pull it apart or be critical, we end up focusing on those people at the expense of the 90 we could have helped. It's like, yo, it wasn't for the 10, it was for the 90, let it go.
Yeah, I call that critics math, where 1,000 compliments plus one insult equals one insult.
Completely agree.
It's critics math. My favorite example, Larry David from Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasms at the New York Yankees game. They see him in the audience. They play the theme from Curb Your Enthusiasm. 10,000 people give him a standing O. At the end of the night, he's in the parking lot and somebody drives by and go, hey, Larry, you suck. And he talked about the guy in the parking lot the entire rest of the night. One person made a stadium of fans disappear. So that's why it's so careful not to engage with that, not to think you have to. Like, you don't have to read one-star reviews. You don't have to engage with the person that, like, mute, block, delete. Like, I run an awesomeocracy, not a democracy. So if you're a jerk on my account, bounce. There's so
every
many
time.
Other, so 100%. Many other websites.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, I got another question for you.
Totally.
I'm good. No, I cut you off.
Oh, no. This is a place where everyone here hopefully can be supportive and uplifting of everyone. It is a negativity-free zone. And if someone wants to be critical or come at me in a way, like if it's about accountability, fantastic. If it's about being mean, then it's a one-strike policy. If you're bullying anybody else in the community, it's a one-strike policy.
Yeah.
And you're just, it's gone. I don't have time for it. Nobody should have time for it.
Next question, third question. Do you remember what the theme song of your prom was?
It was something about being under the sea because it was an under the sea theme, but I don't recall what the song was.
Did you go to your prom?
I did, but let's be clear. It was like I had to ask a handful of humans before I finally got a guess.
Whoa. You had a couple rounds?
I had a couple rounds. I was not. Mm. I was a tall, skinny, like filled with acne human that didn't have a ton of confidence. And I was just like, do you want to go? No? Okay, fantastic. I'll go cry in the corner.
Do you
want to go? Would you like to go? Fantastic. So, I mean, I did make it to Under the Sea. I also still, I just was cleaning out my closet, have the suit that I bought from the Goodwill to go to this prom in. And it was this amazing, like polyester 70s thing with a full like three-piece suit vest. It was just spectacular.
So you went to junior and senior prom? Or just junior?
I went to junior and senior prom.
Okay. Our song was, I don't remember junior year, probably something by like Babyface. Cause like Babyface, man, like so good. People don't talk about Babyface enough in my opinion, but whatever. And then senior was In Your Eyes, Peter Gabriel. Pretty, that one stands the test of time.
Oh, that played at every prom for like
still,
a decade and a half.
Still love that one. Okay. I'm flipping the page. I got to thank Mason. This is Mason's office. Who's letting me use his office.
Thanks, Mason.
Ooh, do you think you'd be more successful business-wise, maybe life-wise, I don't know, if you had a British accent?
I think I'd like myself a little bit more, but I don't know about success. Like, I'm trying to think of how an accent front-loads someone for thinking something of you. Are you asking because you come into this with a presupposition that people with British accents come off as smarter people?
100%. I think if you rolled into that meeting with the hat and you said like top of the morning or whatever it is, they would be like, oh, hat.
Wait a second.
This guy's got a hat and a British accent. Like,
let's give him the deal. I didn't even realize that he was British. Let's go.
They would just give you money on the table probably right there. I don't know if they bring money there, but they're probably just going to do that if you had a British accent.
I like this. Well, maybe I'll slip one on. They've never met me before. You know,
the whole meeting. Then you have to carry it. For every interaction you have, like, then you have to be like Madonna and lose it later. Like, that's really, like, that's exhausting, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't want to do that. Like, you're going to have to marry Guy Ritchie, get a British accent, divorce Guy Ritchie, lose your British. Like, it's a whole thing. Like, just be careful.
Excuse me real quick. Segue. Guy Ritchie has a new movie. After we had the conversation about Nobody, This is a graphic. I mean, there is a lot of shooting and a lot of like inappropriate, very, very close shots of body parts.
Right.
But
What's the movie?
it's called the Pain of Man, the Grief of Man, the Something of Man, and it stars Jason Statham. I don't remember what the name of the movie is. This is the worst movie review show.
You
I
had
know.
Me at Statham. You had
Jason
me at
Statham
Statham.
is on a revenge thing unlike anything that you have seen. It
I
is a
saw
Guy
that
Ritchie
trailer.
movie. I'm just The Wrath of Man is what it's
Wrath of
called.
Man, he gets
Hello.
hired on as some like delivery company or I've watched the trailer like 5 times.
I'm
I
just
am
saying,
watching
if
that.
there is anyone who is has any aversion whatsoever to blood,
Don't
it's
watch
not.
it.
It
Don't
was
watch
a date night option
Don't
with
watch it.
Heidi, and I will tell you there was just a bit of blood. So, caution.
That is
Caution.
a good recommendation. Okay, let's on the fly question number five. Have you ever walked out of a movie? So you're in a movie and you're like, it's like, I'll tell you, I walked out of Cocoon 2. I don't know why. As a teenager, I was like, I should watch Cocoon 2.
Cocoon 2. Number one,
Number
I didn't even know
two.
they had a second cocoon.
I don't know why I thought I needed additional cocoon, but I
Yeah.
was like, I do. And I walked
I
out of
mean,
that.
this will sound obnoxious, but when I was working at Disney, one of the perks of my job and the person that was selling movies to movie theaters was passes for movies. And so the like worry of did I get value out of this experience was gone because I just showed my card and they let me, come in. But I only can remember one time in the history of movie watching that I walked out, and it was Expendables 3, which, I mean, did it not live up to Expendables 1 and 2? Like, no, because I hadn't even seen the first couple of Expendables movies. It was about eating dinner in a theater, enjoying a little moment of a date, and then it, like, wait a second, are we still sitting here? Do we care how this ends? No, let's go do something else. So it was
I
like
didn't know they
that.
had a third. Can you think of a movie where the sequel was better than the first one?
Boy.
Like, not Back to the Future.
I mean, like the Bourne franchise to me felt like it kind of progressively got a little bit better.
That's
I would
good.
argue that the Fast and the Furious franchise, the some of the later installments are, better.
I
I
get like
mean,
when it like from Tyrese perspective, like it had additional Tyrese.
I just think like the evolution of effects, like they were doing some amazing things, and now the things you can do, 12 years in, you're just like, yo, are they jumping from building to building? Oh, they are. Oh, fantastic.
In
Plus,
Brazil.
they threw The Rock in at a certain point. Yeah, Mission Impossible is another good one where it's like the first one was rad, but now the tech in the most recent one. Plus, Tom Cruise hasn't aged in like 20 years. It's kind of ridiculous. But
Yeah,
anyway.
I would say that's a good call. Mission Impossible, I think some of those have gotten better. The Rock, like anytime you add The Rock, I'm pretty cool with the movie. Like,
Right.
I'm fine with it. Like, I enjoy it. I think additional Rock is always what, in my book, is
You
always
know what we
welcome.
need? We need a little more rock. Someone
Yeah, I
said
think
Pitch
movie
Perfect. Here's
producers have that. You've been
someone
in
said
meetings
Pitch.
where.
Yeah, no, someone just said Pitch Perfect. And this is like, here's the thing. I love the Pitch Perfect movies. I thought the second one was better than the first, but the third one, if you're a fan of the franchise, I think you have to write a letter because I just don't understand what they were doing. It just
You
it felt
have
like
to
they
write a
stopped trying.
letter.
You
Who are
got to
you
write a
writing the
letter.
letter to? Like
Well,
Hollywood?
probably Anna Kendrick. I think she produced it. Like, but somebody, just someone just like, hey, guys, is there a way maybe for the fourth one that we could get back into the writer's room and spend a little more time? I don't know. It just like feels like it to me.
It's funny to think they have a writer's room for Pitch Perfect 3. Like that they are like they slave over like what's the joke gonna
Of
be? I
course.
don't
Well,
yeah.
they're not doing improv out there, John. I
No,
mean,
they're
come
not
on.
making it up. They're not making it up. Like it's called film. It's an industry.
What should we sing today? I don't know. Let's
That
just
is
see what
so
comes
good.
out.
That is okay. So speaking of Hollywood, let's go back to the Hollywood question. Do you think that the reindeer from Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas are still in show business? Like
Oh,
there's a couple reindeer in the video,
jeez.
and I met one of them once. I was at an event. I was at
What?
a Christmas event, and they had a reindeer out front, and I swear to you, the reindeer wrangler, handler, I don't
Yeah.
know what the like master said, this is one of the reindeer from Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas video, and I had no way to verify that. And I believe that everyone who owns a reindeer in our country says that same sentence, because I can't, there's no way to verify that. Like, I couldn't look at his eyes and be like, is that true, buddy? You've been near Mariah? Have you? So do you think
When
they're
I, by
still
the
in
way,
showbiz?
when I was working at Disney, we had this Air Bud series, which was these Labradors that learned how to
Oh,
play basketball and all sorts of things. But every time they created a movie, they had this litter of puppies. They were stars of the film. And then when the film was done, employees were eligible to adopt these puppies. And there was a point by the end where every person who had a lab in a 40-mile radius of the studio lot was like, oh, by the way, this dog was from Air Bud. And I'm like, can I see the papers? Like, where are the papers? Same kind of thing. My answer is no. Because how long do reindeer actually live?
I feel like you bury the lead on some of your stories because you had a job that one of the perks was you can adopt an Air Bud. Like, dude, there's a lot of jobs. Like, a lot of people watching right now are like, man, I love pretzel day, or I love on Friday, every other Friday, I get to wear jeans. You had a job, dude, where there was a litter of Air Buds that you could just be like, I'd like an Air Bud, and they'd go, go to HR, it's Air Bud Tuesday.
You know what's amazing, too, for every single person who got one of those dogs, they immediately had a basketball player at home, which, like, who knew?
No, that's the thing.
Come on, it's a
joke. Well, or a baseball player. Come on. How many sports did you guys do? You did, like, baseball, soccer.
Honestly, I don't know. This is one of those things that, like, in a world where I have a memory that only captures the most important stuff, and even at that, it's spotty. The number of sports that Air Bud played is not even still inside.
I'll tell you, as a fan, I felt like the Air Bud MMA was dark. It was a darker film in the franchise. It had way more blood than I wanted in an Air Bud movie. I just thought. Segue
on the airplane. I watched a documentary called You Can't Kill David Arquette.
Oh, yeah. The wrestling one?
The wrestling one. Have you seen this? Are you
familiar
with
seen
this?
The trailer, and he's like 88 pounds, and he's jumping off of buildings.
It is bananas, in part because it's completely true. If you on the airplane have an opportunity to watch the David Arquette documentary, I'm not saying it's going to change your life, but it's going to change your flight for sure.
Two good movie reviews, Wrath of Man, David Arquette. And then, you know what? The franchise of Air Bud. Like, go through all 11 films.
A recommendation.
You heard it from Dave. Like,
no.
I can't. Dude, you need to write 1,000 books, because every time we do one of these, I find out things like, I did a mall tour with Destiny's Child. I also had a job where they would give you Air Buds.
Real quick, this is funny. Just like segue to a segue. So the Disney building, there's like these seven dwarves that are holding up the roof. Sure. There are glass windows that overlook a parking lot where the guests come to park for a meeting. We are assembled for a meeting to meet with the person who has created and produces the Air Bud franchise to talk about what's next. And he pulls up in the Audi that's like the two-door sports car. Like
the TT? R8?
R8. Okay, so he pulls up in a brand new R8. I mean, it looks like it just like literally came off the lot. And we were like, dude, like to a negotiation when we're looking down a window, you're going to drive up in the nicest car possible, a car that was financed exclusively out of the last deal that you had?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man.
No, we're gonna Steve have to... Jobs hides the Porsche. That's a story
right?
about Steve Jobs.
Of course.
Put the Porsche in the back when your investors are coming. You don't look like you're blowing your money. No, I thought you were going to say, I was really hoping you were going to say, you know who's driving that car? Air Bud. Like, what if Air Bud? Like,
jumped right out of the passenger seat. There he is.
And his handler was in the trunk. Air Bud, great at driving, terrible respect for humans. What if Air Bud is like smoking offset, like in between scenes? Air Bud is like, I hate kids. That's terrible.
We're inviting Disney attorneys to jump into this conversation.
Why would I say that? Okay, last question. Last question. Do you think hypnosis works? What's your take on hypnosis?
Here's the thing. I do think that it works, but I think it works for the person who also believes that it works. Like, I think that you have to be someone who believes in it.
Skin in the game?
Skin in the game. Or in some ways, you're like, I believe in the medicine. I'm going to take the medicine. The medicine's going to heal me. If you believe in hypnosis and are hypnotized, it will work. I think if you're skeptical and are looking for the ways to not make it work, then it won't. But I've seen videos. I've even like a couple times been at events where they did something, and I was like, "Yo, that is real." So I believe it. Yeah. But I think you have to believe it to make it work. You?
All right. And I do think it works. I don't think we know the end of the mind. Like, I don't think we're in a position where you can be like, no. This is completely how a brain works. Like, I feel like in so many ways we're on the beginning. Like, We now know neuroplasticity, that your thoughts can change the physical structure of your brain. Like, our parents didn't know that. They didn't get to grow up with that. Like, they didn't get to grow up with that therapy is good. You know, like, you just, I think we're continuing to learn new stuff. Speaking of learning new stuff, I'd like to end this on, Heidi just said, hey, and I think she was loved some oysters. Last episode, this is what they call a callback.
Running, running. Yeah.
She would love some oysters. I went and got oysters the other night and I immediately texted you. I said, Dave, look what I'm doing right now. And you immediately responded. So eventually we'll get a sponsor. Tonal's kind of dragging their feet, but oysters.
Where are they?
I don't know, Dave. I mean, I don't know.
My workout this morning was sponsored by the John and Dave show. So, you know, like, I'm just going to keep talking about
sponsors. We'll take
until
sponsors.
One actually shows up for this show.
Somebody's just going to, and they're going to get in early and they're going to get us to sign an early contract. And they're going to be lucky because when it blows up, they'll still be with us. And then we'll renegotiate our rookie
Huge.
Deal. Like, you just want to get the rookie before they know what they've got. And you've got like four more episodes. I'm just giving you a heads up. Like, I'm already
off.
In a sport coat.
It's going to take off. Speaking of taking off, I sent the intro to John yesterday. We are going to put the replay of these episodes into the Rise Together podcast feed as a bonus on Fridays. So that if you are someone who likes to drive and listen to people talk about literally nothing in an attempt to uplift you for the weekend, well, fantastic. It'll just be a part of the feed. You can listen to it there. It's our attempt.
You'll never get bored. You'll never be able to guess the questions.
Never.
You'll never be able to guess Dave's answers, which again, this week involved, I had a job where you could get free AirBuds. There's not a single person on this watching right now that's like, I figured he'd say that today. I knew he was like, this is just like, you know, when people say it's common sense when you give them advice, but they're not doing it. That's like, nobody right now is like, oh, geez, another guy who used to get free AirBuds. I'm so tired of this on the internet. It's everywhere. Nobody. This is content nobody has access to.
At all.
It's great. Well, Dave,
right,
I love you.
I got to go to a meeting. You got to go do something.
I got to go to a
soon.
Speaking event.
I'm so excited, man.
Guys.
Right, love you, dude. I'll talk
see
to you
buddy.
Soon.
See you
Have
next
a good
week.
Weekend. All right.